1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is 400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Current Issues. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we have a lot to talk about, and I would like to involve all of you listening out there to see if we can figure out exactly what is going on in the American foreign policy. As you know, Nancy Pelosi was in the Middle East last week, and or actually this week, the beginning of the week we're in. It hasn't ended yet. And George Bush is not too happy about it. That's one of the things we will be talking about. Do we have two governments or one government, two different faces, two different policies? And what is happening there? We will talk about this in detail. Also, we're going to talk about the Iranian-British episode that took place a couple of weeks ago, and the British sailors, 15 of them, were released by Iran. And they mentioned something about torture. We will be exploring that more in details of exactly what took place there while they were in Iran and why were they released. And we will talk about anything you want to talk about. If you have any questions about the Middle East, about what is happening in the government, where the next election is going to go, and where our country is headed to in the future, we will talk about it. As you know, I don't give you news here. Most of the news you hear on the so-called mainstream media, but we will analyze the news with you, of course, with your participation, to probably make you or make people out there understand the news better. So we don't claim that we are a news agency, but we will analyze the news for you. Of course, we come into you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. And as I mention all the time, it's probably the only network out there left that has, that you might be consider it as free press, because the Republic Broadcasting Network has no strings attached to any special interest groups. The only strings attached is to you, the listener. And we always count on your support. And, of course, we welcome your phone calls at 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And we will come back to you in a couple of minutes, hopefully with your participation. We'll see you then.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Of course, you can hear us on the internet at rbnlive.com or on shortwave at 5.050. Before we dive further into the subjects that I introduced in the beginning of the show, last Tuesday on the TV show, The Current Issues TV show, which you can get it live on your broadband at www.currentissues.tv. I had as my guest was Captain Ward Boston, who was the senior counsel to the inquiry that basically was formed after Israel attacked the USS Liberty, which I'm sure most of you as RBN listeners probably have heard about it. The intelligence ship USS Liberty. And Ward Boston was one of those people who investigated the incident, and they were given a week to wrap up an investigation that claimed the lives of 34 sailors, American sailors. And in his own words, he thought that it was a deliberate action by Israel that was a murder or a murderous action, but orders came from the White House to wrap up the investigation and say that it was a mistaken identity. Of course, the incident was not a mistaken identity. Israel knew. We're not going to go in details about how did they know and what happened. I'm sure you have heard a lot about it. But if you have not, you can just Google in or search through your search engine, USS Liberty, and you will find there's a lot of articles written on the subject. Or you can go on our website and scroll down a little bit to Captain Ward picture and just click on the picture to hear the interview with Captain Boston. And the reason I'm saying this, because they were told to be quiet about the investigation, and he did. He was quiet for a long time, and finally he decided to speak. The question is, how many people do we have in the administration now that are being told to be quiet about things that go on in the government that directly affects our lives? And they are told to be quiet, and they are being quiet. Probably 40 years from now, these people will start speaking when they really can't have any effect on policy, because they are afraid if they speak that this will mean the end of their careers. So everybody just shuts up and don't say anything about what they know. And years from now, they will write a book or they will write articles saying, hey, this is what was happening. And in Captain Boston's words, that he was following orders. The question is, should we follow orders when we know for a fact that is there's a cover-up? Do we have the I don't know. This is something that maybe some of you can call and comment on it. Do soldiers and people in positions of power have to go along with what they are told, even if they know that what they are told is a big lie? Okay, let's dig deeper into the subjects that we talked about. Let's go start with the Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi was in the Middle East. She visited Israel. She also visited Syria and visited the Palestinian president, but not the Palestinian government. She also visited Lebanon and also Saudi Arabia. Well, George Bush was not too happy about her going to the Middle East on this diplomacy shuttle, because he said that foreign policy is part of the executive branch. State Department is responsible for that. And that Nancy Pelosi was basically getting her nose into a place where it does not belong, which is foreign policy. But the question is, which I threw at you earlier, do we have two different policies, or are they the same policy just with a different twist? In my opinion, and like I said, I welcome your opinion. In my opinion, we probably have both. It is definitely the same government with the same strategic objectives. But now is the time when George Bush's policy is failing and failing miserably in Iraq. Now it's the time for a different face with a different twist to go into the Middle East and try to change things. Number one, the most important visit, of course, was for the Syrian visit. As you know, we have, our government has been saying that Syria is supporting terrorism, it's a terrorist state, it's supporting Hezbollah, it's supporting Hamas, it's supporting the resistance in Syria by allowing foreign fighters to go over and using its borders to enter into Iraq. And George Bush and his policies, George Bush's government, has taken a stand not to speak with the Syrians and to isolate the Syrians politically. But something has happened in the last couple of weeks. Of course, 2 weeks ago, it was the Arab Summit in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, which was more of a basically getting a different or putting a different twist on events in the Middle East, which in one way is better for the United States and the way it was, things were going for the United States. Now the Arab Summit came to help the United States in its policies or failing policies in the United States, in the Middle East. One thing that we need to understand is each country in the Middle East has its own special and national interests, and they're not necessarily the same for each country. Like, for instance, you know, Iran's national interest is to keep the war in Iraq going on and to make sure that the United States fails in its war in Iraq and continue this war in Iraq to basically keep hostilities in Iraq and not in Iran. It's not in Iran's best interest that Iraq be stable and the United States get out of Iraq so it will pay more attention to the Iranians. And, of course, the same thing goes for the British, who involved themselves with the United States in the war, where Iran had picked up 15 of its sailors. We'll talk about this later on in the program or in the following and in the next hour. But let's concentrate on the Pelosi-Bush conflict here, where Bush is upset because Nancy Pelosi went to Syria. I guess a question that might arise here is probably is that women have better sense of diplomatic activities than men do, because she was able to get Syria accepting the fact to have peace with Israel. You know, she said she had a message from the Israelis to the Syrians that Israel was interested in negotiating peace with the Syrians. And, of course, you know, right away Israel said, no, that's not what we said. So it made Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, probably look like an idiot there, because she told the Syrians that Israel is ready for peace, and the Syrians said, yes, we are also ready for peace, and we will negotiate. But now, why bringing Syria into the mix, and why are we talking to Syria? Well, the picture is much larger than what's going on in Iraq, as a matter of fact. The strategy from the beginning and the reason of why we went to Iraq, those two things have to go, you have to understand both things at the same time, which is the strategy of why we went to Iraq and why bringing Syria into the other camp. Now, as you know, Syria has been over the years an ally of Iran. And as a matter of fact, they do have a defense. They signed a defense pact, those two countries, Syria and Iran. And Syria and Iran would be considered, you know, Syria was not named in the Axis of Evil, but close to it. The statement by George Bush in 2002 that the Axis of Evil, it was Iraq, Iran, and North Korea, I think left Syria out. But the policies of the United States have definitely shown that Syria, we consider Syria to be in that Axis of Evil camp. We'll continue with this after the break, and we welcome your phone calls at 800-313-9443 if you'd like to comment on what we're talking about today. We'll be right back.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Current Issues, the radio show, coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, if you were a little confused about what I was saying earlier, we will wrap it up here in about a minute, and then we will go to your phone calls. What I was setting the stage up for, so you will understand what is happening, not just in Iraq, because Iraq is only one part of the total strategy for the Middle East that we got ourselves into. Syria, let me just tell you who the players, the main players there. Iran is a Shiite state. And by the way, before the United States went and attacked Iraq, our president, George Bush, did not know that there were two sectors in Islam, one Sunni and one Shiite. The majority of Muslims, like 90% of them, are Sunnis. Iran is one of the probably only mainly Shiite state governed by Shiite, a Shiite government. Iraq was mainly, the population were mainly Shiite, but it was governed by a Sunni government, which is the government of Saddam Hussein. Syria is a Sunni state. Saudi Arabia is Sunni state. Egypt is a Sunni state. Jordan, almost all the countries around there are Sunni states and governed by Sunni government. The only odd in this whole formula was that Syria was on the side of Iran. And the strategy or the objective of the Iraq war was to go destroy Iraq for Israel. So Israel can be the superpower in the area. We've talked and covered all the documents that prove we are talking about from the strategy for Israel in the 1980s. We talked about last time, clean break document and the project for the new American century. All of them have basically were written by people who later on became in policy positions and decision-making positions in the Bush administration. And all of these documents were, the objective of those documents were to go destroy Iraq, split it into weak countries, and by destroying Iraq, the problem will spill over to the Middle East and basically destroy the Arab countries from within for Israel. Well, now that policy did not go the way we thought as Americans it will go, which George Bush thought that the Iraqis will receive us with flowers and basically people will be dancing in the streets receiving our troops. That did not happen. They received us with bombs and killing, and we killed a lot of them, 655,000, probably 670,000 now. So it was time for diplomacy. And that is why the Arab states, so we created an environment there in the Middle East where the Arab states are fearing Iran and fearing the Iranian influence that it will destroy or it will take over some of these countries in the Middle East. So Syria was the only oddball there because Syria is a Sunni state and it had to come on this side of the fence. George Bush could not do it because he has been talking about Syria and how Syria was a terrorist state. So he could not send Condoleezza Rice to talk with the Syrians to bring them over to our side of the fence, which, by the way, Syria is more than happy to come on our side of the fence because it did not want to be the second Iraq and the regime in Syria, which is more of a minority regime there in Syria. And it was very much the same thing that we have done in Iraq, we could have done in Syria. So the Syrian regime welcomed the move to the other side of the fence. And that is why, in my opinion, George Bush could not do it himself. That's why Nancy Pelosi had to go and do the job. And George Bush would be on the other side screaming at her just basically to it's a show. That's all it is. It's an old play that was well written and directed by those people who are controlling the Nancy Pelosi and George Bush, even though both of them may seem to be basically on opposite sides, but they are just two different faces or two different sides for the same coin. And I believe the service that Nancy Pelosi has done for George Bush is immeasurable because, and I bet you in private, they're probably high-fiving each other that, you know what, we're getting the Arabs to be, all of them, to be moderate on our side. Even Syria is wanting to be on our side. And at the same time, we're getting relationships for Israel between these Arab countries to be normalized. And that is the main objective. Get the Iranian fear in the Arab head, and they will look at Israel to be a power next to them, and therefore you will have the Israelis and the Arabs on one side and Iran on the other side. Now, when we come back, we're going to go to the phones. I know a lot of people are waiting to talk about this subject, and I believe the subject now is clear in your head, so I welcome your phone calls, 800-313-9443. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Current Issues, the radio show, coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to go to the phones and speak with some of the people who are holding patiently on the line. Let's go with William from an undisclosed location. Go ahead, William.
Hi, Sean. Hi. I'm a shortwave listener, and I'm a first-time caller. I've been observing, I'd like to ask your broadcast what it has observed that this is an agenda that goes back, especially after the Second World War, dropping Richard Milhouse Nixon and then U.S. bicameral President Nixon dropping our gold standard, thereby setting a scale of no checks and balances or little, and even when it comes to, and there are of our liberties and national security issues to be addressed, but the fact that our Pentagon, the entire operations around the globe have a pattern of arbitrage in the area of not allowing those that we have been allied with, and even between Israel Saudi Arabia, that suddenly they come up with this notion that there are enemies. Something must have happened, must have occurred back in time that caused this breakdown in relation between the United States and Saudi Arabia. Our oil prices right now, it's skyrocketed. Inflation, everything is just absolutely escalating out of sight. Our U.S. sovereign corporations are leaving the United States. The Teamsters have much to answer for. There are a lot of things that come into play here, and I'd like to know what your broadcast observes of these things.
Thank you for calling. Well, it's towards us to speak about. He mentioned the Nixon and the gold standard. And what are we doing in the Middle East? He mentioned, you know, what about the relationship with the Saudis? The U.S. dollar, how much are we paying for gas? And as a matter of fact, all of these are linked and are related. I will just briefly, because apparently William is very educated and very knowledgeable on what is happening and what's going on. The dollar, the reason of the inflation is not only the war. And as a matter of fact, historically, wars have been good to us, except this one. This one has been a disaster financially and economically. Part of the reason why the dollar is weak, even though sometimes you see that the dollar is picking up here and there, is because there is practically nothing supporting the dollar after Richard Nixon has basically done away with the gold as the main backer for the dollar, after the French government came in and cashed in all their dollars and demanded gold. And as you know, we have talked about this before, we had printed a lot more dollars than when we have gold to support it. So Nixon had done away with the gold, and later on, we had went to the Arabs, to OPEC, the Organization of Oil Producing Countries, and said that you are to accept the dollar as the only currency in oil trading, which they have done for many, many years, until recently when countries like Iran, Venezuela, and other countries started accepting the euro for the dollar. Which in turn, and also a lot of countries are dumping the dollar out of their reserves for the euro. For instance, Syria had last month dumped 50% of its reserve in dollar and exchanged it into euros, which means we have a lot of dollars on the market. Iran has done the same thing. Other countries are doing the same thing. And as you know, when you have a lot of dollars on the market, it will definitely cause the devaluation of that dollar, which means what we are buying, it'll take a lot more dollars to buy the same thing, not even considering the effect of war and not considering the effect of inflation in here. We are paying more for what we are getting because our dollar is getting weaker and weaker, because that is the war that I have always said that we will always, always lose, which is the economic war, because we are not. We might have enough nuclear bombs to destroy the world 20 times over, but we don't have the economic. And as he mentioned, a lot of our economic base is out. You know, our industry is leaving. We have a lot of our industrial base. We are losing our industrial base. We are like, we used to be the first in industrial technology, and now we are ninth. We are ninth in that ranking. So we're not an industrial nation as we used to be anymore, because all of our industry is leaving and it's going somewhere else, which means we are buying a lot of our products that are being that were produced here. Now they're produced somewhere else, and we are the only beneficiary out of this is basically the corporations that are making these products and selling it to us at a much higher price than what we used to pay, when it's costing them a lot less now to produce. Now, the relationship between Saudi Arabia and the United States, really, you know, it's when we say that relationship is going here and there, it's not going anywhere, because the Saudis need the United States and the United States need the Saudis. We are not matched. You know, the only other option for us is to go and occupy every country in the Middle East, which, of course, we cannot do it, because we can't even occupy Baghdad, for that matter. So we have to keep those allies. The Saudi government is also a minority government in Saudi Arabia, because it is only a matter of time. If we want to, we can actually have very much the same problems that Iraq has with its Shiite population in Saudi Arabia, because there is a substantial amount of Shiites in Saudi Arabia, and they are mainly concentrated in the area which is called the Eastern Province, which is mainly where the oil is. So we can create a huge problem for the Saudis if we want to, but we want to keep that regime there, and that regime loves what we are doing for them. So the fact is, the relationship between the Saudis and the United States is a relationship of convenience for both of them. I don't know if I had touched on exactly what William was talking about, because like I said, it's very complicated and we can't sit here for hours and hours talking about it, but definitely what we have created in the Middle East is it's to some people, they think, oh, it's the corporate. No, I disagree that corporate wants to make money. The whole thing is basically to have Israel being the only superpower there, where the Arabs are running after Israel for its acceptance of them. See, we're reversing the formula there. For years and years and years, Israel was saying that we want the Arabs to recognize us. Now you have created an environment there where Arab nations now will be running in the future, and you will see what I'm talking about. In the future, we are going to see some Arab states who will be running after Israel for its recognition of them. And that's the biggest disaster in this whole formula. Now, why does it make me an expert speaking about this? One thing to keep in mind, that I lived over there the first 18 years of my life. So I know how things are going over there. I'm very familiar with the governments there. And my studies have been in international relations. My dissertation and my PhD studies was about exactly what is going on in the Middle East and the peace between the Israelis and the Arabs. So I know the players very well, and having lived there, I know the mentality over there. So I speak from a position not of knowledge, but also of practical life. So having said that, let me go to Colorado and speak with Rita. Go ahead, Rita.
Hi, Hashem.
Rita.
Yeah, I think some of the situation with Saudi Arabia has to do with the fact that they found some sycophants they could deal with the Bushes, starting with George Bush Sr. And it has to do a lot about their attitude of about kind of simplified culture. People will say, well, maybe a Christian Zionist or evangelist or... rightfully, you could call George Bush, some people call him Jewish now because of his attitudes on some issues. But, well, that ties into what I was calling about in the first place. You notice that right after the Palestinians made an agreement and decided to recognize the PFLP, and the PFLP, people don't, Americans probably don't, remember this, but Dr. George Habash was a Palestinian Christian who who founded the PFLP in the first place. And so, you know, it is interesting for that thing probably people don't talk about it, and it's actually really important in Israel for my faith, because the Maronite Christians are from Antioch, Syria, and that's a home of, you know, the roots of our faith, of the Christian faith. And it's really what we see lining up is this kind of evangelist Zionist coalition, and they really, really play down the Orthodox Christians. And what we need to also understand is also the Saudi Arabians and the Iranians see what's going on, you know, and they aren't necessarily going to side with the Orthodox Christians either. So it's like they're that.
Rita, hold on a second for me. You mentioned a lot of things here. Let's see if we can just kind of go through it. You mentioned something about the Palestinians recognizing PFLP and George Habash. What do you mean? This is not something new. George Habash organization, which is the PFLP, has been part of the PLO from basically the beginning, like 1968.
No, I'm talking about the new Palestinian agreement, and when they actually did say that they would recognize the new government, the new Palestinian government, said they would do that, then very soon after that, America withdrew their aid to the Palestinian Authority.
America did what?
They withdrew their aid to the new government, the Palestinian government. I don't have the article in front of me right now, but I saw it. I saw it. You can Google it.
Okay. And then you said something about, I'll come back after a while and talk about this. You said something about the Saudi Arabians and Christians. What are you talking about there?
Well, I know from my contacts, I know that they, for one thing, people talk about the SR-71 spy plane and how they're supposed to be out of commission. Well, I from my sources tell me, well, they have those in elevators in Saudi Arabia, because the Bush administration and their black budget people made deals to send those over there. So they have already kind of, you know, worked their diplomacy. But people, you know, Palestinians and Syrians, they need to look at the poll numbers for George Bush. He's not a popular person. And, you know, he oppresses people in the Middle East, and the same kind of thing is happening to American Christians here, too. And
the people in the Middle East know exactly who George Bush is, and they know exactly what he's doing. But you have raised a lot of issues I'll speak about in a second. And you have anything else to add, Rita?
I'll just take it out here, then I'll listen.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Okay. Well, Rita, she raises a lot of points. Number one, you know, talking about the new government, the Palestinian government, it's very funny that, you know, we ask the Palestinians to have a government, they have a government, and then we don't recognize it. And then the Palestinians go through a year of infightings, and then about a month ago, they met in Saudi Arabia and decided to have a national unity government, which everybody was applauding. But yet, even though with that, Israel said, we're not going to talk to this government. And the Bush administration said, we're not going to talk to this government. So I don't know what the Bush administration wants. They want a government that is handpicked, and that will not work. Because look at what happened in Iraq. We went in there, we destroyed the country, we destroyed the army, and we installed a government that we handpicked. And even though we handpicked that government still, of course, you know, the Shiite government that we installed there, that was very closely aligned with Iran. You know, sometimes when you hear about those things, you would start thinking, what are the Americans thinking about? why go and hand over Iraq to a Shiite government that is closely aligned with Iran, and then we stand there, watch what happens for about 2-3 years, and then we say, oh, wait a minute, this is not working. Didn't we know that this was going to be the case with the Iraqi government? If we did not know, that would be even worse of a problem, because that means we really don't know what in the heck we're doing over there. And we're finding out as we go the so-called mistakes that we are making in Iraq. And definitely hand-picking the government in Iraq has backfired on us big time. And the same thing they wanted the Palestinians to do is to hand-pick a government that will go along with the American policy in the Middle East. And that did not happen. Now you have a unity government that I believe the United States should speak to and the Israelis should negotiate with. And when we come back, we'll tackle the Saudi-American relationship. Hopefully you can understand better of what's going on there. She mentioned the Saudis and Christians, so I'll have something to say about it when we come back.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. In this last segment, in the first hour, I only have a few minutes left, but in the second hour, I would like to hear from you of the two points that I talked about earlier. Mainly, do we have two policies in the country? Do we have two governments? George Bush seems to be at odds with Nancy Pelosi on the war in Iraq, and also Nancy Pelosi's visit to Syria. It had created a lot of controversy. And so let's talk about, let's concentrate on that particular subject and see what do we have. Is it two different opinions, two different governments, or is it just two faces of or two sides of the same coin? Now, with Saudi Arabia and Christians, I really wasn't sure where Rita was going with that. I can tell you relationships between countries have nothing to do with religion, and the country's vital interest is what has to do with their negotiations and their agreement with other countries. Like I mentioned earlier, Saudi Arabia is a government. It's more of a dictatorship. It's a monarchy, and basically it's one of our closest allies. So that kind of gives you an idea of the democracy that we want to export to the Middle East, which is nonsense because most of our allies in the Middle East are non-democratic. We've seen what happened in Egypt last week where the government has basically changed the constitution to keep oppositions out and to keep basically the pro-Western, pro-American forces in the government. And in Saudi Arabia, very much like I said, it's a marriage of convenience. The Saudis need us to basically protect them because they cannot protect themselves if it comes down to it. And Saudi Arabia, we want Saudi Arabia to play a much larger part in Middle East or Middle Eastern politics, which is basically it boils down to get the Arab countries and the Israelis to be on one side after we created this fear that Shiite Iran is going to influence the Arab countries around it. So we created that environment. We basically fueled the hatred between the Sunnis and the Shiites. And this is not something new. This was planned way back in 1980 or probably before. But the documents we talked about, the Israel strategy in the 1980s, and which Sophie called in last week and said it's called also on the Internet, the Zionist Plan for the Middle East. It basically spells out that dividing Iraq into the fault lines that they had basically identified, which is the Shiite Sunnis after the removal of Saddam Hussein. That's exactly what we have done. We had no objective, none whatsoever, that would be considered as an American objective when we went and attacked Iraq. Now, in the next hour, I would like to hear from you. Call us at 800-313-9443. I want to know, what foreign policy should we pursue? George Bush's foreign policy or Nancy Pelosi's foreign policy? We will be back in a couple of minutes with the second hour of Current Issues, the radio show.